We're broadcasting from Kansas City this week, and just a few miles east of town is Independence, Missouri, home to the 33rd President of the United States, Harry S. Truman, and
a replica of Truman's Oval Office from 1950.
We're at the Harry S. Truman Presidential Library and Museum with its director, Kurt Graham. Portraits of George Washington and Franklin Roosevelt hang on the wall of Truman's Oval Office. But unlike other presidents, Truman didn't keep furniture in front of the fireplace.
The reason for that is because he used this as a press briefing room as well. He brought the entire press corps into the Oval Office. He referred to them as boys because they were all men. These boys, you boys, come on in. He would bring them into the Oval Office, and he would make an announcement or read a statement or take questions, and they would climb up on the furniture to get the right photograph and everything. It was a much more casual use of the office than you would expect today.
I was reading a quote of his. He said something like, you know, it's not always easy to come out here and answer questions from the press when I don't know what the questions are in advance. But I'm glad that the president has to do this, and I hope that this continues for a long time, that the president has to answer to the people.
And Truman did. He answered to the people very directly. I sometimes refer to Harry Truman as the Will Rogers of the American presidency. He had these earthy, pithy quotes and little one-liners, often very agrarian in their origins because he was a farmer from Missouri. And he very much had that kind of approach. And he didn't shy away from questions, you know, and he didn't shy away from decisions. He made major decisions throughout his administration, and he didn't seem to be bothered by the fact that people would be second-guessing him.
It's a truth that Truman would become known for. Graham shows me the sign that famously sat on the president's desk, the one that says, "The buck stops here."
It was on his desk here in this Oval Office. We don't know that it was ever on his desk in the real Oval Office in Washington. It was something given to him later. But it does, I think it stuck to Harry Truman because it represents both his decisiveness and the number of important decisions that he had to make. But it also, I think, is a reflection of his character. Instead of blaming someone else, instead of trying to look for, you know, a reason that it's not your fault, it's, you know, somebody else is responsible for something. And Truman said, no, the buck stops here. I take full responsibility. And he did for his decision.
He actually lived up to that.
He absolutely did.
Perhaps the most consequential decision Truman made came on August 6th, 1945.
A short time ago, an American airplane dropped one bomb on Hiroshima and destroyed its usefulness to the enemy. That bomb has more power than 20,000 tons of TNT. The Japanese began the war from the air at Pearl Harbor. They have been repaid manyfold. And the end is not yet. With this bomb, we have now added a new and revolutionary increase in destruction to supplement the growing power of our armed forces. In their present form, these bombs are now in production, and even more powerful forms are in development.
Is that the main part of his legacy, or what do you think?
Well, I guess if you look at it in terms of the amount of material that's been written about that decision, it could easily rank as that. Truman did not see that as a major part of his legacy. He started his presidency, and within 4 months, those bombs were dropped and the war was over. And then he had, you know, basically two terms to fill, full of all kinds of legislation, all kinds of interesting things going on. So Truman, the interesting thing about Harry Truman is he made a lot of very important decisions, but he didn't second guess himself. He didn't lose a lot of sleep. He didn't wring his hands over those kinds of things. He made his decisions and he moved on.
Another decision he made was to bring the U.S. into the Korean War.
Very costly decision from the standpoint of popularity. He leaves office in 1953 with some of the lowest poll ratings. I think it was 32% of any modern president. But it was a very courageous thing. He did that to support the United Nations, for one thing. It was not an American war. It was something done under the banner of the United Nations.
He opened the United Nations also.
Right, he did. It was something that obviously Roosevelt had things underway. One of the first decisions he made as president. And they asked him, should we continue this thing in San Francisco with United Nations? And Harry Truman said, absolutely. And he went to the United Nations and opened it and gave a big speech there. So he was very committed to the idea of the international community.
For it is a declaration of great faith by the nations of the earth, faith that war is not inevitable, faith that peace can be maintained. If we had had this charter a few years ago, and above all, the will to use it, millions now dead would be alive. If we should falter in the future in our will to use it, millions now living will surely die.
What about domestically? What was his legacy on domestic policy?
Well, Truman was someone who was, I believe, way ahead of his time in a number of issues. Civil rights, for example. You know, when you think of civil rights, you automatically think of Lyndon Johnson.
Right.
But it's interesting that Lyndon Johnson gave a lot of credit to Harry Truman. Here at the library, we have a tape of Johnson calling Harry and Bess Truman on Christmas morning, 1968. And he tells them that he's been given a plaque of all the legislative accomplishments by his staff of things that had happened during his administration. And he says, you know, about half of those things happened under the Truman administration, or got started under the Truman administration, whether it's Medicare, Medicaid, you know, the idea of universal health coverage. There's so many things that Truman does that you look back and you realize that he was way ahead of any kind of civil rights movement or anything that would later come.
Was there anything about Independence, Missouri, or about Missouri that played out in his presidency? Is this place important to his legacy?
Oh, it's very important. It was incredibly important to him. I think being a man from Missouri, being someone who really came up from the bottom. I mean, he was truly a self-made man. He couldn't afford to go to college. He went broke in various businesses. I mean, he did not have the advantage that you would think that someone who would arrive to be president of the United States would have. He's one of the last presidents that you can look to who really sort of came up through the ranks by his own effort and his own merit.
What do you think he would think of President Trump?
You know, I don't know that historians tend to look at change over time. And, you know, the Trump presidency is still current events. You know, we often quip when we get that question. We say, well, anything Harry Truman would say about the current president, we probably couldn't repeat on the air, you know, because Mr. Truman had colorful language. But no, I think time will tell. You know, again, Harry Truman is the one that brought America out of isolationism. The idea that the United States is in a leadership position vis-a-vis the free world.
He even ran on those themes in 1948.
The record on foreign policy of the Democratic Party is that the United States has been turned away permanently from isolationism, and we've converted the greatest and best of the Republicans to our viewpoint on that subject. The United States has to accept its full responsibility for leadership in international affairs.
It seems that we could be retreating from some of that. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, you're going to have to get 25 or 30 years beyond the moment and look back and see.
But he probably wouldn't like hearing somebody bash NATO or the United Nations.
No, one of the interesting things that makes this such a fascinating time to be in the Truman business is so much of what Mr. Truman put in place together with Churchill and other leaders seems to be up for grabs in a way that it never has been before. But here at this library, I've had ambassadors from places like Korea, from places like Eastern Europe, come here and say that Harry Truman deserves credit for putting in place the architecture, the structure, the scaffolding that has held up a system of unprecedented peace and prosperity, not just for the peoples of America and Western Europe, but for the entire world. So when you see that being questioned, when you see that a retreat from that, or you see that being dismantled, I mean, you do sort of pause and you wonder, well, what is the next thing? Is this the wise thing to be doing, or is it not? And again, only time will tell.
When Truman left office, he had historically low approval ratings, as we heard. His popularity, however, has increased over time. He's now considered one of the most important presidents in American history. And even though their views of the world are very different, with the last name Truman, his new alphabetical neighbor in the history books will likely always be Trump.